Welcome, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. As one of my friends wrote to me last night, this is the World Friendship Day, and here we are as spiritual friends gathered together. So it's a very special time for all of us. And what I wanted to do is take you through a guided meditation. And I will, at the end of that, I will, leave some time for just silent meditation for us. My topic today is generosity. I believe it's an innate value. Again, Emiko asked me what's the title, and I don't know exactly. Hopefully, I'll know by the end of this talk. But that's how I feel. So that's where I'm coming from. And I just wanted us to experience and explore within us what does generosity mean to us? Yeah. So I'll guide you through a meditation. And before I guide you through the meditation, I think I'd like to start out by acknowledging our ancestors and the unseen beings who are here supporting us. Honoring the Buddha, who out of great compassion and generosity taught the Four Noble Truths to us. And I'm grateful to the Yavapai and Tonto Apache tribes on whose ancestral land I'm here, very recently moved to Sedona in Arizona. And I want to acknowledge my teachers who have supported and guided me through all these years. Deep gratitude to them. And I acknowledge all of your presence today as my Dharma friends on this special World Friendship Day. So, with that, let's start out with the meditation. And like I said, I'll do a guided meditation for some time, and then you can continue with the guided meditation, or if you so desire. You can just practice just your whatever practice you like to do. Okay. So finding a posture that is comfortable to you, checking in with your body. Today, maybe your body feels that the right posture is standing. So practice standing meditation. It may be that you would need to lie down today as you practice. Or maybe in the sitting posture. Whatever your body feels drawn to, allowing yourself to settle in that posture. And then connecting with your intention as you are. Spending this time, this 1.5 hours with our BIPOC community on a Sunday, connecting with your deepest intention to be part of this community and to sit in meditation, be present to whatever arises within you for the next few minutes. And then starting out connecting with our body, sensing into your feet, your calves and your thighs, and noticing what are the sensations. Maybe there is heaviness or lightness, maybe tingling or vibration, maybe warm or cool. Just noticing. Be curious. about this body that carries you, carries the spirit, that the consciousness that resides within it. For all these years you have been alive, and then sensing into your hips, the heaviest bones in the body. Just sensing how it touches the ground. Feeling the heaviness of the hips. And also the support of Mother Earth. As you're sitting or lying down, or standing. And then sensing along your back, if you're lying down, maybe the back is touching the ground, or in sitting, it may be touching the chair. Feeling the contact. Feeling the contact and relaxing into that contact. If you're standing or you're sitting as I am, where my back is not touching the chair, then feeling the clothes where they touch your back. Bringing your body alive with your awareness. Sensing into your belly and your chest. Checking in with your heart. Noticing what are the emotions that are present in this moment. And then sensing into your hands, your forearms, and your upper arms. Again, noticing the sensations, warm or cool, tingling vibration. And then sensing into your neck, your face, and your head. Feeling into that aliveness that is pulsing through your body. And then bring to mind someone who has been generous towards you. Either they gave you a gift, a physical gift, or maybe they gave you a listening ear. They listened to you at the time that you needed. Or maybe it was a hug, again, coming at a time that you needed it. Just remembering someone who was generous to you. As you bring to mind that moment of receiving generosity, remember all the details. What was the gift that you received? Remember the facial expression, the space you were in, how you felt. Was it comfortable to receive, or was it uncomfortable to receive? Including all of that in this moment. And then sensing your body right now as you remember the gift and the giver of that gift. Just notice what happens in your body right now. Feeling into your heart, feeling into your belly as you are receiving that gift in your imagination. Notice what happens to your breath. Then bring to mind another instance of having received generosity from someone. A gift of time or attention or money. Or anything physical that was given to you at just the time you needed it. Again, as you imagine receiving this gift, bring to mind the details of the giver, where you were, and how you felt. Maybe you felt uncomfortable being the recipient of generosity. Maybe you felt held and cared for as you received generosity. Again, feeling into your body right now to see what arises as you bring this gift to your mind. Feel into your belly, feel into your heart. And with gratitude towards both the givers, we move forward in our imagination to bring to mind a time when you offered a gift to someone. Maybe you helped someone without even thinking that it was a gift, supporting a coworker in their work to meet a deadline. Supporting a family member or a friend who was ill, supporting them with food or just doing their laundry. Remember a time when you offered a gift to someone. Again, remembering details of the recipient, where you were, the feelings and the expressions of the recipient, and your own feelings. And as you bring to mind this time, sense in your body. How does your body feel? How does your heart feel as you gave this gift to someone who needed it and you gave it at the right time? Maybe your generosity flowed towards plants or animals or birds. With simple things like maybe a bird feeder. Really remembering that time and feeling, how does your heart feel as you have given a gift to someone? And then bring to mind another occasion of offering a gift, maybe a hug, or you deeply listened to a friend or a family member, or even a stranger. Again, noticing, how does your heart feel? How does your belly feel as you remember the second gift that you have offered? And then taking some time to either continue with this exploration of other instances of receiving, other instances of giving gifts. Or you can do some practice as your own heart desires.
Thank you.
So in this meditation practice, we went through you being a receiver of a gift, of somebody else's, the receiver of someone else's generosity. And as someone who was offering generosity. So I want to hear from you in the chat, if you may. And I know it may be too much to ask of you because you've just come out of meditation. But I don't want to wait till the end of the Dharma talk. I want to hear from you whether it was easy for you to be a giver, or was it easy for you to be a receiver? So just drop one word, receiver or giver, you know, just one word in chat. I just want to get a feeling for it, because with generosity, as you're offering, as you're receiving generosity, maybe the feelings were uncomfortable as being the recipient. Or maybe, you know, when you're giving, maybe some uncomfortable feelings came up. So we want to acknowledge not just the comfortable and happy feelings, we want to acknowledge the uncomfortable ones as well, right? So let's see what came up for you. So I'm seeing giver, giver, receiver. Much easier to give. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's sort of what I expected would be true. So much easier to give generosity than to receive. So, I'm just gonna look at my notes here today. So the Buddha basically describes the three central practices in Buddhism, which is the first one is dana, that is generosity, sila or morality, and bhavana, meditation. And then he taught the 10 paramitas, or the 10 perfections, and you know, generosity is one of them. So before he actually, if you were a student that came to him in that ancient time when the Buddha was teaching, if you came to him, he would first be offering you teachings of generosity or dana before he actually gave any meditation instructions. So dana is central, right? So when we look at the teachers, the way the Dharma was brought to the West, it has been modified so that it can fit in our Western culture. Because we don't have the same concept of generosity as they do in the East. As you're well aware, in the East, the monks go in the morning to the alms round and people offer their food. Even the people in the countryside who are extremely poor, before they are eating, they offer food to the monks. Preparing food for the monks is just part of, it's the same as preparing food for your family members, right? And so the monks are also doing the alms round so that the community benefits from practicing generosity. So generosity is so interwoven in that culture, in the Buddhist culture in the East, where the giver and the receiver, it's just interwoven in the society, in the fabric of society. And you know, when I was growing up, I come from India. When I was growing up, as I was writing this talk, I remembered in several instances when I was young and my father would pick me up in his lap, and you know, my mother would hand me some gift to be able to, so that I could offer the gift to the priest or to the monk, and even to beggars, right? So, because there is something about receiving a blessing from the monk or the priest or even the beggar. And so, you know, it's generosity is such an innate part of the culture in the East. It's, and again, it's different from the West, right? So it's not that in the West we don't have generosity, we do. And it comes in many forms, right? In the West, we have charitable donations, we have volunteering, where we are helping strangers, you know, caring for a spouse, caring for an old parent, caring for a child. All these are different ways of expressing generosity. What's common in all of this is that it involves giving good things to others freely and abundantly. That's the definition of generosity according to the University of Notre Dame Science of Generosity Project. You know, when you're generous, people, and I mean sometimes animals, when they're generous, they are prioritizing other people's needs over their own. So in Buddhism, you know, we talk about generosity. The Buddha basically goes much deeper when he's teaching generosity or dana. Because in Buddhism, according to the Buddha, you have ideal conditions when you're giving a gift. So the gift that you're giving is a pure gift with pure intentions to a pure recipient. So he has raised the bar. So let's examine that. So what is a pure gift? A pure gift is a gift meaning, you know, that is proper. Proper time the gift is offered to a proper person in circumstances. And it's a gift that is earned by honest means. To have pure intentions means to come from a space of compassion, to be attentive, and without negativity towards the other person, right? A pure recipient is someone who genuinely is deserving or requires that gift, okay? And another state of, another factor that the Buddha talks about is the state of mind when you are giving the gift. So he says that there is to have a joyous feeling before, during, and after the act of giving. So the Buddha really goes deeper into this practice of generosity. So, you know, this, when you're practicing this generosity, you may not have all these factors come together, right? It may not be a pure gift or a pure intention or a pure recipient, but still we are encouraged to still give the gift, even if all the ideal conditions are not met. So I'll give you an example. Recently, this came up for me. A friend of mine asked me to do some trauma healing for one of their family member. And so, you know, I was offering that my time freely. But it so turned out that after working with this person for a few times, you know, the recipient could not receive the trauma healing work anymore. It's being offered for free, but the recipient was not able to receive that because there were some other things that were going on for this person. Their own trauma was so strongly triggered that they were not able to receive the work. So here I had to learn to step back because I have to honor the recipient. The recipient is not in a space to receive the gift that I'm offering, right? So that's also part of our practice. Now in Buddhism, generosity doesn't just cover charity, alms, donations, but it also includes several actions, seemingly simple, plain actions that we do during the day. And we may not consider them as acts of giving. So if you're putting in an extra effort to, you know, make a customer happy in your day job, or if you're selling a product to someone that they genuinely need, and you've considered all of their needs when you're making that offering, that is also considered an act of generosity. Because what really matters is the thought that counts, right? You help your neighbor when they need something from you. It's that the thought, that generous space of heart, that's what counts. Okay. So let's talk about generosity and happiness, because the Buddha said, you know, that's what he's teaching is the end of suffering, which, as I translate in my mind, is he's teaching us happiness. So when we look at the World Happiness Report, the report says people are happy in a country where they feel confident that their government, they're confident about their government, and their government is taking care of them. So that leads to higher level of satisfaction, right? The government is generous in their way of supporting the people. But if, you know, the government and or the economy is not strong and the government isn't taking care of us, then people take care of each other, right? So worldwide, they found that nearly 30% of people donated to charity and 20% volunteered in the previous month when they took this survey. And in US, these numbers are twice as high. So in US, you have 60% of people who donated to a charity and 40% volunteered in the previous month. So we are part of a very generous country. And this can come in many, many different forms. You know, what we are doing with volunteering and making donations is we are really strengthening our connections with our family, our friends, our neighbors, and even people we may know online, right? So this connection and generosity is what makes people happy, according to the World Happiness Report. Now, what the World Happiness Report discovered about generosity, the Buddha knew, you know, more than 2,600 years ago, right? So that's why he taught generosity first. So let's look at the roots of generosity. When we look at the roots of generosity, we find that we humans are innately generous species. Generosity is our innate nature. And the Buddha realized it when he gave his teachings on this topic. So while there are still, you know, you might look around you and say, oh, but I see people who have such a strong propensity for self-interest. And, you know, that propensity is supported by a lot of studies. People do feel more individualistic and, you know, they are more interested in themselves. But there are also studies that have revealed that the currents of generosity run deep through us human beings. And so why is that? They've done studies and they found that we humans are wired for generosity. Acting generously activates certain brain pathways. And these brain pathways that are also activated when you have good food and a good connection with people. And what it does is it's releasing this hormone called serotonin, right? And that's the happy hormone. And that explains why when we are giving or we are helping others, we feel so good. Also, being generous is a way, it's a evolutionary adaptation, because, you know, if you're supporting your neighbor is more likely to support you. And hence, in terms of evolution, also, it's much better to be generous. There is further evidence that the roots, that these deep roots of human generosity, they come from, you know, they've done studies where they found that children display generosity, even when they're toddlers. And they've done many studies that they found that children have this innate drive to cooperate and help others. But as they grow over time, this drive is tempered and their behavior becomes more selective in whom they help, and it becomes more nuanced, right? So let's talk about the positive effects of generosity. So generosity has a strong effect on our psychological health and well-being. So again, they have done studies that they found that older adults who volunteered reported greater quality of life. People who help others frequently of their own accord, they reported greater vitality and self-esteem, right? So, and they found there is a strong link between generosity and happiness. So people are actually happier when they're spending money on others as opposed to spending money on themselves, right? In workplace, if you're working in a workplace where people are generous, it actually reduces the likelihood of job burnout. And in relationships, if you are with someone who is generous, people report more contentment and longer lasting romantic relationships, right? So this is all the science that has proven, but the Buddha had deeper reasons to teach generosity. Because for in Buddhism, as we know, generosity, practicing generosity is believed to help train the mind in a way that is conducive for attaining enlightenment, right? Giving serves as a way to eliminate one's greed and ill will. By giving away whatever is valuable to you, you reduce attachment by letting them go, right? By using your possessions or your time to benefit others, you develop altruism towards others. And giving also helps you get rid of your definements in your mind, because you're letting go of attachments and extinguishing ill will, right? So there are also limitations to generosity that I want to talk about. One of them being, as I've already touched on, is, you know, the culture and society where we are brought up, right? It also, you know, depends on your upbringing. If your parents modeled generosity, you're more likely to be generous. But then there is this other aspect as well that I, you know, since I work with trauma, I want to give you another story here. I was recently speaking with someone, and they have the mother needed additional time and support because she was having health issues. And there are 5 siblings. But out of the 5 siblings, just one of them was present in terms of, you know, the actual work that is needed, setting up doctor appointments, in all the work that was needed in the house to take care of the mother, right? But the other siblings, it's not that they did not care for the mother. It's not that. There was genuine caring. The siblings are very close to each other, and there's genuine love among the siblings. But the others did not step up. So it was just one person who is a friend of mine. She was stepping in and taking care of her mother. And as we discussed that, what we uncovered is that just being, there was a lot of childhood trauma. There was severe childhood trauma for all the siblings when they were growing up, right? And it's only my friend who had done the inner work. So there is resiliency that she has as she has released her trauma. She has the resiliency to be able to support her family member, to her mother, as her mother is going through these difficult times. But the other family members, other brothers and sisters, they went into a sort of like a freeze response. It's not that they did not want to help out, but they just did not have the capacity to step in at a time when their mother, who was such a caring mother, was falling sick, was going through her sickness. So just to know that sometimes that is also a limitation that comes up. It's not that people don't want to be generous. It's just the causes and conditions with which we have grown up and which we have worked with and released or maybe not released, they come in as well and may limit amount of generosity a person can experience or offer. Okay. So again, I want to switch to another part is generosity and interconnectedness. You know, I want to share with you a small video. This is a video of a young boy who was diagnosed with some severe illness, and he had only like, you know, a month or so to live, right? And so his mother asked him, what do you want? And he said, I just want to see two or three bikers ride their motorcycle outside my window. So the mother put this out on the social media, and I'll show you what happens. But what I want you to also see in this 1.5 minute video is who is more happy here, the giver or the recipient, you know? So I want you to see that aspect as well. Okay. So I really like this one because it's, you know, the feeling is so mutual here. You can see that with the effect. And though the mother asked for just two or three bikers, 20,000 bikers showed up, right? So, you know, I feel that, you know, when we have in our media, we have such a slanted coverage, right? We see a lot of tragedy. And, you know, that gives us a feeling that there is a lot of tragedy all around us, right? But, you know, there is also acts of heroism. There are several acts of heroism, which can actually help us restore our faith in humanity. And, you know, this might include simple things like you might say, you know, volunteers taking in war refugees or bystanders acting courageously in the midst of a violent attack or people donating food. So, you know, there's a quote by from Mr. Rogers, and, you know, he talks about, you know, tragedies, and he says it so beautifully. He says, when I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news, and my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I'm always comforted by realizing that there are still so many people, so many caring people in the world. We have entire systems like Red Cross and, you know, and there are so many, there are just so many different ways in which people help out. Like, you know, food for people who are ill and who are at home, right? So there are just goodness in that way all around us. And so with generosity, there is, for the benefit of others, when we think about generosity as benefit for others, you know, we think about it in a very limited way, in my opinion. We're just discussing helping others. But generosity is so ever-present. It's that, you know, when you think about every person who's alive today is alive thanks to the generosity of someone else, whether it's our parents, foster parents, some kind of guardian, you know. Every human being has relied on the generosity of someone else to survive until they are capable of taking care of themselves. So it's not just about generosity as in, you know, building a temple or a hospital or providing a meal. It's not just that. There is also generosity when you're helping others by just listening in their times of stress or worry. You're helping them in some form free them from hunger, right? So I have a question for you. You know, as I was preparing for this talk, I had discussions with friend, and you know, we use this word practice in Buddhism, right? We are practicing generosity, and hence we do the dana practice, right? So but also, you know, like, I mean, there is an action involved in this practice of generosity, right? So I have a question for you, whether is it that I have an identity that as a meditator, as a Buddhist, I'm practicing generosity, or that I'm a generous person? Or is generosity simply an expression of my values and my nature, or, you know, just an expression of my nature, where you're just doing some good in different ways, right? So the question for you is it a practice, or is it innately an expression of your values or your character, right? I'm having a hard time with this because I've had discussions with two friends and we were having a hard time in how do we phrase this, but you get the idea, right? So I'm curious to hear from you. What are your thoughts? So, you know, feel free to raise hand and we can call on you, or if you feel you wanna, you know, just write in the chat, you know, like I have one response that says both. Several people are saying both. So I'm curious, you know, like I'm curious for you to tell me what is it, what do you mean by that? Because, so, okay, we are practicing generosity and remembering our innate nature. All right. So it's a practice until it becomes the way. It's an expression of my innate values and character. Okay. So generosity as a practice and acting on our values. But in the practicing, my question is, when you are, that becomes an act, right? You're actually doing something when you're practicing generosity. So is it an expression of your innate nature, or is it an act and hence I'm a generous person, right? So that's the question. So yeah, thank you so much for, you know, sharing and just genuinely bringing yourself to this space and being open and vulnerable. Really appreciate hearing the Dharma in this room. Let's close with a loving kindness meditation. As we do this meditation, bringing to mind all the people in this space here today with us, but also your family, your friends, your pets, all the animals on this planet, birds and fishes, and all the other humans that inhabit this planet, bringing everyone in your heart space. May you be safe from internal and external harm. May you have a calm, clear mind and a peaceful, loving heart. May you be physically strong, healthy, and vital. May you experience love, joy, wonder, and wisdom in this life, just as it is. And may the merit that has arisen from our practice today be to the benefit of all beings. May all beings everywhere be safe, fed, and sheltered this day. Thank you so much for your kind attention today. And thank you so much for your meditation practice that you showed up here in this space.